Our text for this morning's message comes from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. These are the words of our text. These events in Mark's Gospel really happened before the events recorded in John's Gospel, if you want to think chronologically. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the tomb wondering who's going to roll away the stone. They see that it's rolled away. They see the man sitting in the tomb saying that Jesus is risen. "Go and tell Peter and his disciples." So then Mary goes and tells Peter and John, and they come to the tomb, and then Mary afterwards. And then she sort of hangs out at the tomb for a while after Peter and John have left. So that sort of ties us in chronologically. Good Friday, Jesus is crucified. He's put to death for the sins of the world. And he's laid into the tomb. The women have seen this. Mary, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and a whole bunch of other women witness Jesus being laid into the tomb. But it's the day of the preparation, so they can't finish up the burial. It's sort of a hasty burial for their Lord. They go back and they celebrate the Passover. But in between, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, remembering how slow they were to believe Jesus when he said, "In 3 days I will raise this temple again after you destroy it," and they criticize and they use that very sentence of our Lord Jesus to condemn him to death. Now they come to Pilate and say, "Well, you know, we remember that when he was alive, he said that after 3 days, he would rise again. So put a stone over the entrance to the tomb and seal it up and post a guard, lest his followers come and steal him away. And then say to the world that he was risen, just as he said. And this second deception will be worse than the first." So a stone is put in front of that tomb. And it is sealed with wax. And the seal is marked with a seal, a signet. And a guard is posted. And the women, Mary Magdalene and the other women, witness this. So they know this huge stone has been put in front of the tomb. We've all stood at the foot of a tomb, haven't we? Parents, spouses, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters. If we haven't yet, the time will come when we will. It's part of life in this sinful world. Death still comes to us a reminder that we're still fallen and sinful, even though we've been redeemed by Christ's death and by his resurrection. And we understand the sorrow and the grief and the sadness of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, as well as Mary Magdalene and the other women, and even the disciples, as we too have felt that grief and we felt that sorrow. As we stand, maybe standing literally watching as the coffin is placed into the vault and as the vault is sealed and as the dirt is put over the grave. And it's shut up. We go to tombs, and we go to filled tombs, or at least tombs where caskets and bodies of loved ones are placed. But most of us haven't come to an open tomb where a body has been raised, have we? So while we're standing there at that tomb, or at the funeral, at the casket, there is that part of us, even though we know mom or dad or brother or sister or whoever it is dead, in the back of our mind there's that hope that maybe, just maybe, perhaps, they'll come to life. But even if they were to come to life, we know they'd have to die again, don't we? Even Lazarus, who was raised just a few days before our Lord's crucifixion, would have to die yet again. And so these women come to the tomb early on that Sunday morning to finish up what was necessary for the burial of their Lord Jesus. None of them expected to find Jesus alive. Even Peter and John, who come to the tomb, are sort of flabbergasted. And John says, because they did not understand the scripture that he would rise again. Which, don't you find puzzling? I mean, the disciples, they had been there when Jesus raised the little girl. They had been there when he raised the widow of Nain's son. They had been there when Jesus raised their friend Lazarus. Maybe in the back of their mind they were thinking, as those mockers at the foot of the cross hurled up, he saved others, why doesn't he save himself? Why doesn't he come off of that cross? Well, he can't come off the cross, because if he comes off the cross, then you and I, well, we're really, really dead. I mean, we're so dead, there's no hope for us, because we're still dead in our sin and dead in our trespass, and we're really, really dead, because there is no resurrection then. If Jesus comes off of the cross, saves himself. Maybe in the back of the minds of the disciples, maybe even those women in their grief, there's a thought, well, he raised others, why doesn't he raise himself? So we've come to the grave. We come early with the women to the tomb. Sort of a heavy day, isn't it? Kind of a heavy sermon, so I'll inject something humorous here. And the scriptures, the women are the first to come to the grave, aren't they? I was commenting to Jean this morning, it's like, in the scripture, the women are the first to come and arrive. This morning, it's the fellows that are the first to arrive. Jean was here, I was here, Les was here, and Craig was here. Like, where are the women? Finishing up dinner or preparations at home, I'm sure. But the women come to the tomb to finish what was necessary. And they come to that tomb. And they realize that stone is there, and suddenly they think, hey, who's going to roll away the stone for us? We because we have to get into the tomb. If it wouldn't have been for those, you know, preachers and their jealousy and the need to put that stone and that guard there, we'd just be able to sort of go in and take care of what needed to be done. So as they're approaching, they see that the grave is already open. Come with me, if you will. It's the first week in June. Decoration day, as my grandmother Violet would call it, has passed. And with the passing of Decoration Day, supposedly the danger of frost has passed also. And so there she is with her red geraniums, her wax begonias, her fertilizer, her trowel, her cultivator, her scratcher, as we called it. And she says, go get the coaster wagon. So I get the coaster wagon, we load up the geraniums, we load up the wax begonias and all the other stuff, and we have this little caravan down the road to the cemetery. And we start scratching away in the little spot that had geraniums and wax begonias the year before as we carry out our ritual. Grandma, why are we planting red geraniums and wax begonias here? Well, because that's what we plant at great-great-grandpa and grandma's grave and at other graves of family in that cemetery, and then it would load up the car with the rest and go to a couple other cemeteries. And some of you are familiar with that track. Why are we coming to the cemetery and doing this, Grandma? Well, we come because we remember those who we love who have died. Well, one day, Grandma died. The grandkids are grown and moved away. We don't load up the coaster wagon or the car trunk with red geraniums and wax begonias and dig up the soil. Now it's covered with sod. But in my mind, that first week after Decoration Day, I trekked to a couple cemeteries. And I remember those. But it isn't like going to the cemetery was for those women that first morning, because something dramatic changed about cemeteries that day, because the grave was opened. And the Son of God, who had suffered and died on the cross for the sin of the world, was raised to life. And the angel asked the women, and he asked the disciples too, so why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And those words have always sort of stuck in my mind when I conduct a funeral. And when I'm at the graveside, and when I go to visit the graves of my parents and my grandparents and other ancestors, I go to remember them, but in the back of my mind it is those words, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Because really, aren't those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus also alive in Christ? He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, our Lord says. Those who are baptized died here, amid screaming and thrashing in mother's or godmother's arms, or sleeping through the whole affair, so that when death comes, we do not need to seek the living among the dead, because we know that they rest with him who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We sometimes, as Lutherans, like to compartmentalize things. Now we're in the Easter season, so we celebrate Easter. And after Easter's over, I suppose sometime, well, maybe around November, maybe I'll come out and say, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." And maybe somebody will, "Oh, hallelujah, Christ is risen indeed." Because I've caught you off guard. Because we compartmentalize that for Easter, and that's the end of the church year, probably. But in the Christian tradition, there is a saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. Words for us to remember. Christ has died, that's a reality, and in that reality, we find our freedom from sin and death and the power of the devil. Christ has risen. That's a reality. Actually, it's Christ is risen, a present tense. And Christ is coming again. He's coming again at the end of time to bring this world that's collapsing because of sin and destructing on its own to a final end, to bring his people, his bride, his church, to be with him forever in the blessedness of heaven. And we look forward to that. But yet in the meantime, he comes to us yet in the water of baptism, in the bread and wine, his body and blood of the sacrament, in his word. And he reminds us again that he has died, he is risen, and he is coming again. The message of the women to give to the disciples is, tell them he goes ahead of them to Galilee. I like to think of those words coming to us. Tell us, tell them that he goes ahead of them to Galilee. And for us then, that Galilee is the heavenly place. He's gone there before us, and he's waiting to meet us there. Those that we remember in the cemetery, those who have died in the faith, they're already there in Galilee waiting for us with him. And so on Easter, we come and we seek not the living among the dead, but we're reminded again that because Christ Jesus lives, we also live with him. And so when we go to those graves, when we stand at those graves, we know that it's not an ending. It's just yet another beginning. May God grant the blessedness of his resurrection to us for our comfort, for our strength, and for his glory and praise. Amen.